Welcome to worship on Sunday the 19th of June. All who thirst, refresh yourselves in the waters of the living God.
As a deer longs for flowing streams, our souls long for God.
All who weep, comfort yourselves in the safety of the living God.
As a deer longs for flowing streams, our souls long for Christ.
All who feel lost and forgotten, find home and family in the house of the living God.
As a deer longs for flowing streams, our souls long for the Spirit.
Come, revive yourselves in the waters of the living God. God of mystery, open our eyes that we may see you in unfamiliar places. Open our ears that we may hear you speak in the sound of sheer silence. Open our hearts that we may feel the depth of your love. When we wander in the wilderness of fear and death, revive us with your care, that we may find strength for our journey and return to the land of hope and life. Amen.
So my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Today's first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19. In the humiliation and destruction of the false prophets of Baal, the prophet Elijah demonstrated that the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob is the one true God. Now Israel's three-year-long drought has been broken and the rains have come. But when King Ahab tells his wife Jezebel what has taken place, she promises to have Elijah killed within 24 hours. Understandably, Elijah is afraid, and so he flees into Judah with his servant before heading into the wilderness by himself. There he begs God to let him die. In many ways, it's an extraordinary moment. Elijah has just accomplished something astonishing, and yet he feels as though he cannot take it anymore. He receives help from an angel, giving him enough strength and motivation to journey on to Mount Horeb, It's there that God asks Elijah the same question twice, and Elijah gives an identical answer each time. Not a mountain-splitting wind, nor an earthquake, nor a fire, nor sheer silence can change Elijah's mind. So God sends Elijah on his way. There's a powerful reminder in today's story about the humanity of even God's greatest prophets. Elijah needs food, water, rest, and someone to care for him, even as he vanquishes those against God. We are people of creation, all of us. We each need certain things to survive and even more to thrive. Running away from Jezebel kept Elijah safe in the very immediate sense of the word. But then he wanted what she was promising anyway. It was love, care, and the meeting of basic needs that helped Elijah take the next step. Sometimes just praying harder and having more faith is not enough. Elijah met with the full force of God on Mount Horeb, yet life was still as tough as it always was. Today's story reminds us of the need to meet the very real and human needs of each person in distress, hurting, facing abuse or neglect. Let us offer refuge, a listening ear, understanding, nourishment for body and mind, as well as soul. Listen to the reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 15.
Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus."
Let us pray. Lord of the ages, in our day-to-day lives, we do not always make time to love, to pray, or sing your praises. We want to be strong, yet we often feel out of control, buffeted by the winds of change, rocked by the earthquakes in our relationships, burned by the fires of doubt. Forgetting what we cannot see, we ask, "Why have you forgotten me?" Help us trust your presence, even when we feel utterly alone, trapped in our dark night of the soul. With the promise of Christ as our hope, lead us from our wilderness wanderings into the well-tended garden of your love. Let us join in the words of the prayer Jesus taught his disciples as we say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The steadfast love of God is with you, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Whether you turn away or doubt, whether you follow timidly or joyfully, you are loved and forgiven in Christ.
Of quietness, till all are still. before the heat of our desire, thy coolness and thy power. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak through the earthquake, wind and fire, or still small voice of calm, or still small voice of calm.
The second Bible reading is Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39.
They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him.
The story we have just read from Luke chapter 8 is both unusual and intriguing. As Jesus steps out of the boat and into this non-Jewish territory, a naked, demon-possessed man approaches him. The man falls at Jesus' feet and shouts at him, confessing that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. On our journey through life, I'm sure we've all encountered some interesting and unusual people, but I dare say that few of us have ever encountered a naked, crazed man who fell at our feet, shouted at us, and begged for healing. Yet Jesus does not seem surprised, disgusted, or even embarrassed. Jesus doesn't try to avoid the man or ignore him. True, the man makes it difficult to be ignored, but instead of smiling sympathetically at the man and excusing himself, Jesus asks, "What is your name?" Luke tells us that it's the demons who ask Jesus to cast them into a large herd of pigs. Jesus' response gives the demons permission to leave the man's body and enter the pigs feeding on the hillside. The pigs then rush down a bank into the lake and drown. You can understand why the owners of the pigs are upset. After all, the pigs were their livelihood. But why are the people of the city and in the country so upset? Are they angry because their supply of pork chops is gone? Perhaps, but I don't think so. In our story, we're told that the people were both frightened and angry, but the people's fear and anger did not originate with the pigs drowning. The people became afraid when they saw the man, who had once been possessed by demons, clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. This man was healed. It seems that seeing the man healed is what instilled the fear, and this is when the people asked Jesus to depart. The people are afraid of Jesus, so they ask him to leave. Of course, this man wants to go with Jesus. Not only does he want to follow Jesus, but presumably he wants to escape the scrutiny that he will face. Although Jesus granted the demons what they wanted by casting them into the pigs, Jesus does not grant the healed man permission to follow. I said at the beginning that this is an unusual and intriguing story. It leaves us with all kinds of questions. Isn't this man's life more valuable than a herd of pigs? I've heard it said that we humans often get our sense of security and our good feelings about ourselves when others are being put down or made to feel small or worthless. That sounds like a terrible idea, but it may be true. For example, why do children bully other children? Why do adults exclude others from their social groups? Do we do this in order to feel superior in some way? To feel special, do we feel that we must exclude? To get a sense of satisfaction with the value and status of our lives, do we need to distance ourselves from others? Some time ago, I listened to a radio program that included a piece about a young woman who was sacked from her job because she had tattoos on her body. It was a very interesting story. The claim was made by her employer that customers had complained about being served food by a member of staff with tattoos. The employee claimed that the restaurant where she worked wanted to attract a more upmarket type of customer, and her image didn't suit their brand. There are many ways of putting people down. We all come across people who challenge our views and values. There are times when many of us are tempted to think life's messy enough without having to deal with those kinds of people. We find some sense of security convincing ourselves that our world is safe as long as those people stay away from us. We're content to assign them to the tombs with the man with demons. I recall reading a story about a church in an inner city location that held an annual summer barbecue in the church grounds. For years, the church claimed that this annual event was part of their outreach to the community. The truth was, they made no effort to invite anyone from the community. The church called a new minister, who decided that if the church was going to call the barbecue a community event, then flyers would be sent to all the people living in the streets nearby and children attending the local school. What had been a church event with an attendance of approximately 100 people became a community event of nearly 500 people from all walks of life. The new minister thought the church members would be thrilled. Now the barbecue was an outreach event. Children who went to a nearby school would know that the church they looked at every day was a place where they would be welcomed. Instead, the new minister heard grumbling that some of the people in attendance were rough-looking. Some even looked scary. Some people did not fit the social, racial, and economic profile of the existing church members. A small group proposed that the neighbourhood school be excluded from the invitations for the following year, and the new minister should be more selective with the invitations. How very sad. If Jesus had never crossed into the country of the Gerasenes, then this whole mess would have been avoided. The herd of pigs would not have run off the bank and drowned, nor would the people have had to ask Jesus to leave. But as Jesus had never crossed over into this country, this demon-possessed man would not have been healed. If Jesus had never crossed over, this healed man would not have been able to spread the good news of Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, to this country of the Gerasenes. Those who cross over to the wrong people to bring healing to those who need it and to share the good news of Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, are often misunderstood and rarely appreciated. But they might just be following Jesus and living the gospel. Let us pray. Wonderful, wonderful, ever wonderful are you, faithful one of all the earth. We give thanks and celebrate your presence among all things and in all things, giving meaning and hope at all times.
Yet even more, we give thanks and celebrate that you are above all, beneath all, and far beyond all, calling us to reach beyond the things that perish, to that unspeakable glory which is to come.
Wonderful is your purpose, and wonderful is your true agent, Christ Jesus, our Saviour. For other people, close to us or far off, we pray.
Wherever people spend their days, like puppets with others pulling the strings, losing their own sense of worth and purpose,
let your life come in its fullness, loving liberator.
Wherever some have lost contact with reality and suffer mental torments through every hour of each day,
let your life come in its fullness, loving healer.
Wherever some are at last breaking free and taking the first steps towards independence of mind and spirit,
let your life come in its fullness, loving encourager.
Wherever human beings are physically restrained, but remain mentally tough and spiritually and mentally free,
let your life come in its fullness, loving inspirer.
Wherever people seek a reliable friend or healer, comforter, advisor, teacher, or a sure redeemer,
let your life come in its fullness, loving counselor.
Wherever people suffer the indignities of poverty, the loneliness of misunderstanding, or the crushing brutality of war,
let your life come in its fullness, loving Saviour.
Wherever the members of your church have traded liberty for legalism, or the living truth for dogma, or trust for religious fears,
let your life come in its fullness, loving God. God of liberty, enable us to enter more completely into the kingdom of love, which has been waiting for us from the beginning of time. Through Christ, in Christ, for Christ, we so pray. Amen.
Amen.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.